Please turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Thank you for those wonderful songs of praise we were able to sing and to hear. Galatians chapter 5. We are going to be out of town this coming week, so when that happens, I try to prepare ahead. So I've been deep in my study all week, so there's no telling what you may get this morning. It may be last week's message, this week's message, or next week's message, or all three combined. So we'll see. But we are thankful to have God's Word. As a matter of fact, as we begin the second message for the day, I'm sure you realize by now that as I'm leading us through two or sometimes three books of the Bible at the same time, I don't have a master plan of making all of the meaning and the messages of these separate texts in these separate books somehow all go and fit together. Surely you realize I am not that talented, nor am I that creative. But yet, so much of the time they do go together. Often, like today, often they tell us the exact same truths. The exact same truths. I mean, what our Exodus account showed us in the previous service this morning, now Paul's letter to the Galatians will tell us in words. What the Exodus account showed us in picture, now Paul will tell us in words. So, just so you know, this is not me. It is not some plan I have devised. No, it's the Lord. But here's the thing. He is telling us, I am persuaded, from week to week, time to time, as I stand in this pulpit, as I have seen the Lord arrange things throughout the years as He has, often to my complete, you know, mouth dropped open, can't, I would have never saw that coming. I am persuaded that the Lord is with us. I am persuaded that He is directing us. And the thing about this morning, we should see what we are about to see and with what we saw earlier in Exodus. The Lord, He is telling us something that we so need to know that He is repeating it again for us today. So the churches of Galatia, they have been infiltrated by false teachers, and some, maybe many of their members, have been convinced and persuaded that salvation is really about legalistic performance. It's Christ plus the law, which really means it's ultimately up to you. And when people are convinced of this legalistic way of thinking, I would say legalistic way of salvation, but it's not salvation. This legalistic way of thinking, when people are convinced of this, what happens? Well, my way is best, right? My way is best. I mean, if your way is your salvation, then it better be best. Matter of fact, the Bible says if it's your way, if it's the law, then you are bound to keep all of it, every aspect of it, perfectly. So, if your salvation is your way, then it better be the best. And that results in, look at me. Look at me. I'm the super saint, and you aren't. You better get yourself in line with me, because after all, my way is best. False teachers, Paul tells these Galatians that the false teachers, they wanted them to follow, they wanted these members to follow them because they wanted to have their boast in them. They wanted to be propped up by people following them in their way that was best. But in Paul's correction of this hypocritical, heretical mindset, last week we saw in verses 13 through 15 of this chapter, of chapter 5, he says, No, we've been set free by Christ Jesus for freedom. And we have been called to freedom, and this true freedom is not about judging one another. No, this true freedom is about serving one another. basically he said there, you keep talking about the law, you keep talking about keeping the law. If you really want to keep the law, and you should love the law, then give yourself up for one another. Willingly, unconditionally, give yourselves to be one another's slave. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you to listen to that message. It is a very important text of Scripture that we need to understand. He tells them to love someone other than themselves supremely. To love God, love each other. Don't sit around picking each other's lives apart. Don't sit around judging one another, biting and devouring one another, but live for each other. Live to honor someone else but you. Live to bless someone else but you. Live to fulfill one another. This is true freedom. This is the life of true freedom that we have been set free to live and that we have been called to live according to God. But church, let me ask us, as we worked our way through those amazing three verses and learned this amazing truth of what true freedom really is, we didn't think that the apostle was saying that this freedom, this life of sacrifice that we've been called to, was going to be easy, did we? Last week, we got, you know, nationally and individually, we've got this mindset that to be free, well, that's something that's easy. Last week, we referred to chapters 5 and 6 of this letter as the rest of the story. Well, the rest of the story isn't over yet. We need to keep reading. So Galatians 5, let's start again back at verse 13. Galatians 5, verses 13 through 26. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve, and we talked about that word serve, become a slave, willingly, unconditionally, become slaves to one another. Because the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You put your neighbor in that place of supreme love that you've got yourself in. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You see what he's doing? He's returning to the topic of the flesh that he began in verse 13. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity of the flesh. And then he comes back to it. Walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So I have entitled this text section, The Fight for Freedom. And guess what? Contrary to our way of thinking, like I said, both individually and nationally, freedom is never free. Freedom is never free. Freedom is never easy. There is always a price. There is always a struggle for freedom. Here, Paul says that the way to true freedom, the life, children of God, you have been set free for and called to, is a life of unconditional self-sacrifice to the Lord and to one another. But he does not say that this life, this true freedom is going to be easy. He does say that it's not going to be easy. Actually, he tells us straight up that it's going to be a fight. This idea in religion that once you are saved, life is a bed of roses, and look, if everything's not going just your way, making you perfectly happy, then something's up with your faith, that is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. As a matter of fact, it's so contrary to the Word of God, they could not have read God's Word. At least, not with Spirit-enlightened eyes. Paul tells us that this freedom is going to be a fight. It is going to be a fight between your flesh, your natural inclinations, your sinful fallenness, and the new nature, the new life, actually the Spirit of God Himself who now dwells within you. He tells us it's going to be a fight. It is not going to be easy. It's going to be a war. I'm sure we've all seen that "He is greater than I" little sticker that people put on their cars. Well, that's the new reality within the children of God. But here's the thing. I doesn't give up quite that easily. It's a whole lot easier to put that sticker on your car than it is to actually live that sticker out. Because I doesn't just give up that easily. I is fighting tooth and nail with every weapon I can muster up, especially lies and deception and smoke and mirrors. I is fighting to turn that greater than sign, that arrow, back around constantly. John Stott puts it like this. He says, "We do not deny that there is such a thing as moral conflict in non-Christian people, but we assert that it is fiercer in Christians because they possess two natures, flesh and spirit, in irreconcilable antagonism." We, children of God, possess two natures, flesh and spirit, and they are in irreconcilable antagonism. And this freedom, the true Christian life, is a fight. It is a war, primarily, saint of God, with yourself. Let me say that again. Let's make sure we all get it. Because we hear an awful lot about the enemy in our day. Don't misunderstand me. He's real. He's real. But you've got an enemy closer to you every day of the moment. Every day of the year, every moment of the day, that is much, much closer to you than Satan. And that is you. You. "Oh, Brother Tom, no, that's not true for me." Maybe for the immature Christian, but not for me. I'm much more mature than most. Really? Much more mature than the Apostle Paul himself. He confessed this about his own life in Romans 7. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. So this is the conflict of the Christian. And not just the immature, weak Christian. This is the conflict of all Christians. By the way, Paul in Romans 7 is not giving us a pass on sin there. It's funny how we'll turn things to our, quote unquote, what we think is our advantage. What he's really telling us here is to fight. To fight. Yes, it's a war. Stand up and fight. Don't give in. You know the law is good. You know God is good. You know He's right. Fight for Him. Fight. Even when the progress is small, fight. Oh, but Brother Tom, look, bro, I hear you and all, but I didn't sign up for all this willingly becoming someone else's slave. I didn't sign up for this denying and dying to self. Look, I just want to go to heaven. I don't like fire. So look, I mean, y'all can be all serious and everything, but I'll just come to church, punch my religious card, and live the rest of my life. You know, my best life now. I just believe that the most important thing is that I am happy with me and that I do the best that I can do. And I think everything else, if I do that, I think everything else will just turn out fine. But I'm not in for this struggle, this fight stuff. Now, if this is your mindset today, if this mindset is you, if you are unwilling to fight for this true freedom through dying to and denying the sinful desires of your flesh, really actually just living the true biblical Christian life, if this is you, and it may well be, it is common in our day. I just ask you, how many people do you know whose mindset lines up with the Apostle Paul in Romans 7? How many people in modern Christianity do you see this kind of thinking? Few. Most in modern Christianity, their mindset lines up with that imaginary guy that I just expressed to you. So if this mindset is you today, if you are unwilling to fight, you desperately need to see here in God's Word what this mindset in you confirms. Because it does confirm something. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18 and think about the flip side of what Paul's saying here. Here, Paul says, to surrender to the Spirit proves that you are not under the law. To live to the Spirit proves that you are not under the law. So what is it then to refuse to submit to Him? Refuse to fight for your flesh. Obviously, you're still under the law. And if you are still under the law, what have we learned from the previous chapters? To be under the law is to be condemned and cursed by the law. To be under the law is to have the wrath of God abiding upon you. And just in case we might think this can't be what Paul is saying here, well, he can't say it any more clearly than he says it in verses 19 through 21. Look at that again. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you. I've told you over and over and over again that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And they will not inherit the kingdom of God because those that refuse to fight Those that refuse to fight the sinful desires of their natural will, regardless of what they profess to be, they are not, nor will they are not in, nor will they inherit the kingdom of God, because, verse 24, look at that, they do not belong to Christ. So listen, no matter what our flesh, our religious flesh, may deceive us into believing, refusing to refuse your flesh, refusing to surrender to the Spirit of God, is not now, nor will it ever be, your best life now. Refusing to surrender to the Spirit of God is not now, nor will it ever be living. Refusing to submit to the Spirit of God is not now, nor will it ever be true freedom, nor is it Christian. It just confirms that you are desperately in need of Jesus Christ as your Savior. It just confirms that you are desperately in need of His Spirit to guide you into truth. You are in desperate need of life from above. So we all see what's at stake here. Life itself, heaven and hell, deception and truth, religion or Jesus Christ, eternal condemnation or eternal glory. That's what's at stake. That's what's at stake in this fight for freedom. Okay. So now we need to see, we know what's at stake. Now we know what refusing to fight, what it confirms. Now we all need to see what Paul sets down a comparison or a contrasting comparison here. And we all need to clearly see this comparison. We need to see it in relation, real relation, to our own lives. Especially if we somehow want to live in chapters 1 through 4 of this book and have contrived the idea that our lives and living our physical lives as the saints of God is really, you know, not important. It doesn't really matter. Notice first the first side of the comparison. The first side of the comparison are things that born again, freed from the condemnation of the law, freed to walk in the newness of real life, things that free indeed saints of God should be fighting against in their lives. Free indeed saints of God, you, true Christian, should be fighting, now must be fighting against these things in your own life. Look at verses 19 through 21 again. First notice in verse 19, these things are really in three or four categories. In verse 19, we should be fighting against the sexual woes of immorality. That word immorality comes from the Greek word porneia. We hear what that means, right? We must be fighting against the sexual woes of immorality. And the word, and the picture in that word, if I could just say it like this, I'll try to keep it as G-rated as I can. We are not to live like a harlot. We are not to live like a prostitute. We're not to think like a harlot, think like a prostitute. We must fight against the sexual woes of immorality. We also must fight against impurity, that is, uncleanness. We must fight against sensuality or lewdness, sexual abandon. Saints, right now in our lives, we should be in an active war against sexual immorality in all of its forms. We must be fighting. Do not let your guard down against these things. You must fight them. They're not okay. It's not going to be okay. It's not just going to work out. No, fight. Fight against the woes of sexual immorality. That's not where he stops, though. In verse 20, we should be fighting against religious, he's going to shift to religion here, religious idolatry, religious sorcery. It's interesting, this word sorcery, the Greek word, is where we get our word pharmacy for. We should be fighting against idols and witches. Idols and witches. Let me put it like this. We must fight against being in possession of and being possessed by the religious deities of this evil war. We should be in active warfare against all forms of idolatry, including self-idolatry. That's probably where this word sorcery, pharmaceuticals, comes in. Often the pursuit of pharmaceuticals, especially in our day when it is so prevalent, it's all about living in a world that is not real. And I realize we don't really like to live in a world filled with pain, right? Right? But sometimes it's that very thing that God uses to correct us and mold us into who we're supposed to be. Now, I'm not saying we don't use the things that the Lord has given us on this earth to help us in these areas, but they can't consume us. They can't consume us. They will, by the way, ask Brother Paul. Just ask him about all the hoops he has to jump through just to give you something to help you for pain. All the legal things that he's got to do and all that rests on his shoulder, I'm sure, every day after a day is done, thinking, wow, I hope I made that's the right decision. I hope that person's not consumed by these things. That's it. At its base, y'all, it's the idolatry of I. That's what it is. We've got to fight against it. On a more societal level, he goes on, we must fight against a quarreling, contentious temper, envy, an envious, raging, selfish, affecting, or divisive mindset and walk of life. As well as we must be fighting against a drunken, or really what he's describing here in these two words is a loose lifestyle. So, you boil that all down. And what Paul is saying to his saints, we must fight, we must be fighting against being who we used to be. That's it. In another place, he gives a long list of that, and he says, and such were some of you. Were some of you. We must be fighting against who we used to be, saints of God. We must be fighting against who we used to be before God translated us by His power and by His grace into the kingdom of King Jesus. We must fight against living like I is still king because I is not. And we must fight against living like this life and this world is all there is because it is not, not even close, y'all. Not even close. So saints, these are the things we must fight against. But now on the other side of the contrast, of the comparison here, the things that we must be fighting for in this fight for freedom in the kingdom of God as people indwelled by the Spirit of God, we see them in verses 22 through 23. And we should see, if you look at these, there is a natural division here. This is what we must be fighting for, children of God. And first, we fight towards God Himself. You might say, what do you mean by that? Well, just hang on. We fight towards God Himself for love, joy, and peace. We fight towards God Himself for love, joy, and peace. For love unequaled, joy unspeakable, and the peace of God that is far above our understanding. For these, we fight towards God. And then, we fight towards others. Out of this love, joy, and peace for and in God, we fight towards men. We fight towards others, towards men, towards people, for patience. Who do you get impatient with, people? You got to fight that. You got to fight that. And I know, it can be a fight. Okay? Yeah. But you got to fight it. You got to fight it. We must fight towards men for patience, for kindness, for goodness. In other words, we must suffer long to care and to be generous. Let me say that again. We must, saints of God, we must fight to suffer long, to care, to be generous. We must be in active warfare for these things. And then, the third category, we must fight towards ourselves. We must fight towards ourselves for faithfulness, for gentleness, and self-control. In other words, we must be full. We must fight, be fighting to be full of faith, humble, and controlled by the truth. In other words, we must fight for, we must fight to do that which is right. We must fight, children of God, to be people of character. You understand that's what doing that which is right and choosing to do that which is right is what character is. Choosing to do that which is right. We must, in the midst of all opposition, especially your own sinful desires, your fleshly lust, your fleshly cravings, we must fight, we must war to do right. Because, Paul tells us in verse 23, that which is right, the law has no correction for. That which is right, character, he tells us, is the natural produce, the natural fruit that grows in the life of a Spirit-led, Spirit-surrendered Christian. These are the things, this is the life we must fight for. This is the life we must be fighting for right now. And no, neither the things that we are to be fighting against, nor the things that we must be fighting for, neither of these lists have easy street as the head. Neither of these lists have bed of roses for us. Now actually, it's the direct opposite. God's the God of truth. He just tells it. He just tells it. He don't try to deceive us. Oh, come follow me because it's going to be a bed of roses. That's people who say that. You understand? That's not God that says it. Oh, come follow me and you're just going to have, you know, you're just going to be so, so happy all the time. You'll just be running around smiling because it's just, oh, everything's just going to feel wonderful. And that's not what God says. He tells us the direct opposite. Here in verse 24, Paul calls this fight a crucifixion. A crucifixion. A torturous, excruciating dying. That's what God says it's going to be. A torturous, excruciating death to self. But saints, we have to see Paul's conclusion here in verse 24 and 25. We must fight this excruciating fight because, verse 24, look at it, that's what those who truly belong to Christ, that's just what they do. I don't want to fight. I'm not going to fight. I'm just in it for the ride. They don't belong to Christ. I didn't say it. God said it. They don't belong to Christ. Because those that truly belong to Christ, they fight. They fight the excruciating fight. They are in warfare with themselves on a day-by-day basis. They are dying to themselves, dying to what their flesh craves and loves. Now, there are days, sometimes day after days after days, the flesh wins, but you got to get up and fight another day. Because that's those who truly belong to Christ, that's just what they do. And verse 25, if we truly have the light of His Spirit, if we've been given the life of God Himself, then we must walk in the Spirit. We must. We will. By the way, yes, it's true. We've been guaranteed the fight. We've been guaranteed the conflict. We've been guaranteed the struggle, the denial, the death. But listen, we have also been guaranteed, so it's also true, that this narrow, excruciating way, it is indeed the way to life. It is indeed the way to victory. I know it doesn't feel like it, but everything is not as it seems in this world. This world is not all there is. Not even close. This narrow, excruciating way is indeed the way to life. It is indeed the way to victory. If you don't believe me, if you still want to refuse to fight, go back and read the earlier parts of the book of Matthew. Read the Sermon on the Mount. It's exactly what Jesus says. So Paul's not telling us anything new, is he? Mm-mm. We've seen here the conflict and the confirmation, the comparison, and Paul's conclusion. But there's something that we need to understand about all of this. And if we just kind of take a step back from all the details in the text, it's easy to see, because Paul actually repeats it 7 times in this section. He repeats it 7 times. And this is what he is repeating. Freedom. True freedom. This is really all about the Spirit. True freedom is really all about the Holy Spirit. So listen, here it is. Salvation, the entire salvation experience from beginning to end, it's not about the law. It's not about doing some kind of work. It's not about some kind of work we do, something that we perform. No, it's all about the Spirit of God. It's all about His purpose, His power, His produce upon and in and from our lives. And Paul tells these Galatian church members and us through them, verse 16, that we must walk by the Spirit. We must walk by the Spirit of God. We have been saved by the grace of God. We've been born again by the grace of God. The Spirit of God now resides within us. Now we have to walk by His leadership. Verse 17, now it's not going to be easy for us. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be an all-out war. Why? Because I and the Spirit are opposed to each other. But yet we must fight. We must fight. In verse 18, if we've been set free from the law through the justifying perfection of our Savior Jesus, we must submit to the leadership of the Spirit. Oh, I've been saved. I know Jesus. But if you won't submit to Him, you won't fight when He tells you to fight. You won't deny yourself. Oh, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Now, you know, I ain't going to hell. But you won't surrender yourself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit? His Spirit? I love Jesus, but you won't listen to Him? You won't do it? Jesus is my King, but you won't listen to Him? You know what that's called? That's called an evil servant. Is what that's called. That's what Jesus calls it. An evil servant. We must submit to the leadership of the Spirit. In verse 24, if we truly belong to Christ, if we are His, we must die to self. We must be actively fighting against that which is evil and actively fighting for that which is truly right. And again in verse 25, since we have the Spirit of life within us, we must walk, we must live like it. We must walk, we must live in subjection to the Holy Spirit. We must walk, we must live by His leadership. We must walk, we must live in His power. This is the way of true freedom. This is the way to true victory. It's all right there, right? Y'all kind of look at, I think a bunch of y'all ate too much candy last night. Y'all kind of look at me with these zoned out looks. It's all right there in front of us in this text. Walk by the Spirit. If you're His, you walk by His Spirit. If you're truly a child of God, you walk by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You walk in and by and with the Holy Spirit. Now here's the question. What does it mean to walk by and in with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? What does that mean? It's obvious we must. We've got to do it. We've got to fight if we belong to Christ. If we are citizens in His kingdom, we've got to do it. But what does it mean to do it? To walk by and in and with the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. Well, let me ask us. Is walking in and by and with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, is it a feeling? Is it about some emotional experience? You know, like, I think how people describe it today is like Holy Ghost goosebumps. Is that what it is? To be led by the Spirit, you just get a feeling? You just have a shiver run down your spine? Hear me now. Hear me. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, if what we read here means anything, and it means everything because it's the Word of God, that feeling, those goosies, most likely, that is your lying, deceiving flesh. Most likely, that's your heart that is desperately wicked. Most likely, that feeling is the way that seems right unto man, but leads to destruction. So what is it to walk in and by and with, to be led by the Spirit of God? Well, saints, it's right in front of our faces. It's this book. It's this book. You don't need to be waiting, child of God, for some experience or something to come over you, some kind of feeling to walk with the Spirit. It's right here. There's no need to wait. Open it. Read it. Obey it. That's what it means to walk with and by and through the leader, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit's book. We are told that in Scripture, y'all. It's amazing. There's so... Well, it's not... It's, the reason's obvious. The Bible is not being taught. The Bible is not being... The Bible is just being used as a bunch of proof texts for their positions, the whoever they are. That's all. The whole, the entirety of the Bible is not being taught, so people don't know. The Bible tells us if you're saved by the grace of God, then you walk by the Spirit. Well, how do you walk by the Spirit? Well, this is the Spirit's book. It's inspired by Him. The person of the Spirit Himself. This is His guidebook, if you want to put it like this. This is His map, if you want to put it like that. Being led by the Spirit is not a feeling. Walking in and by and with the Spirit of God is not a feeling. No, it's our minds, our born-again minds, and then our lives being governed and ruled by this book. It is our lives, it is our minds, and then our lives being surrendered to the instruction of this book, which is God's Word. That's it. But oh, we have so little regard for this book. Perhaps even some here today, as I say these words, you're saying, no. It's got to be something more than that. It's got to be something than just following that book. We have so little regard for God's Word. Our lives today are consumed with give me more, more, and more, and more. More of everything. More of anything but God's Word. Reading God's Word. Studying God's Word. The preaching of God's Word. Oh no, we need less of that. We need less of that. Now listen, it's not just the world saying that. It's professing Christians thinking and saying things like that. Give us more! Give us more! Give us more! Oh, but less of God's Word, please. with such a low regard, such a low desire, such a low appetite for God's Word? Is it any wonder why our flesh is continually raining down ruin on our lives, even when we don't know it? The man who tore his buildings down to build him more. Oh, I got it now. Got everything I need. Jesus said, "You fool. You fool, you don't have anything you need. You've ruined your whole life, and now your soul is going to be required of you." With such a low regard for God's Word, which is the Spirit's leadership in this fight for freedom. That's what it is, y'all. This is the Spirit's leadership in this fight for freedom, but we don't esteem it as such. We don't even regard it. We don't even want it. We don't even want it. Let me leave myself. Leave me alone and let me do what I want to do. Didn't we read something about you won't be able to do what you want to do? With such a low regard for God's Word, the Spirit's own leadership in this fight of freedom, is there any wonder that we view this fight that Paul describes here in our text, we see it as a prison instead of freedom. We see it as drudgery instead of victory. We think God telling us no is God keeping us from something that is good. We think God telling us no is God keeping us from being happy. Is God keeping us from living a good life? We're in such shape. We have such low regard for God's Word. And here's the thing, and I'll be through. Until we make a conscious, real choice to get serious and fight this very fight, until we covenant with God ourselves, really, y'all, until we live up to our baptism, you've been baptized, you've already covenanted with God. And you may be breaking that covenant, but you've made a covenant with Him. Until we get serious about that covenant, and until we make a conscious, serious decision that as for me and my house, we will really serve the Lord, we will really walk in and by and with the Spirit, until we start living as blood-bought, born-again citizens of heaven, citizens of King Jesus, and stop trading, stop giving up heavenly diamonds for earthly dirt. Until we acquire an appetite for eternal things. Until we require an appetite for God Himself, our flesh is going to keep having its way with us. Our flesh is going to continue to keep us from real freedom. Our flesh is going to continue to keep us from a true, super abundant, victorious life that is really victory. And we will just keep forfeiting. We will just keep throwing away blessing after blessing after blessing. A sovereign faith Baptist, we would say, well, God's sovereign. We can't throw away blessings. You better read this Word. Because you can. You know, Paul himself even feared that. He talked about him being shipwrecked, watching himself, keeping his body under subjection. What is he saying? I die daily. Not what he was saying. He said it. Lest he be shipwrecked. God help us. For Christ's sake. May God make His Word real to us. May God help us to see what His Word really, truly is. And may we esteem it. And may we esteem Him for all His worth. Saints, Christian, there is real, true freedom. There is real, true victory to be gained in this life now for Christ's sake and for His kingdom's sake. But we must fight. Here, you must fight. You must fight your flesh. You must die to self. You must crucify your flesh. You must crucify the lust of your flesh to truly live. You must. But will you? But will you? Will you to truly live the life worth living? God help us. God help us.